news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Very interesting half hour on the way, for sure, as we hit on a lot of things, including trying to wrap things up in Montgomery. It seems like heels are dragging a little bit on certain things, and you wonder if things are going to get addressed before the bell sounds.
Yeah, some hurt feelings may be slowing things down in Montgomery, as the Senate not seeing eye to eye with the House and vice versa, but still have budgets that they have to get through the finish line. The Education Trust Fund, which has worked its way now from the House to the Senate, that's what the Senate will be looking at this week, and then vice versa for the general fund budget, and plenty more on the House floor this week, according to 1819 News, including some legislation about guns, some on sex education. But this story caught my eye, and of course, a lot more discussion here recently about artificial intelligence. And, you know, it's really been since this last year with ChatGPT and then some of these other quote unquote AI bots that have started popping up. You've really only seen them on the consumer level, like in your face, these last 6 to 9 months. But, you know, these are multi-billion dollar investments that they've been working on for some time now. And, of course, the worry with AI is how quickly will it expand its abilities, and what will that entail? And should there be regulations on AI, or just specific parts of what AI can do? That's what legislatures across the country are dealing with right now. And I wish in Washington, D.C., they were working on this stuff a little more tightly as well. But for the state of Alabama, we've already had some legislation move through the House and into the Senate, where they sit currently. And this is dealing with AI. But mostly it seems on the pornographic side of things. So AL.com, Mackenzie Foster writes that one Alabama senator says in a perfect scenario, laws on personal protection from artificial intelligence would have been created on a federal level first. But we're having to work on it state by state. Said we would have a uniform law across the country that would apply to all states. That's what State Senator Arthur Orr told Troy. Unfortunately, the federal government and Congress have not acted in this space, and as a result, states are having to do it. You know, it kind of sounds like medical marijuana or many of the other things that states have found a workaround for or have started investing in before the actual feds get involved.
Yeah.
Currently, there aren't any direct laws in Alabama that punish the use or distribution of AI-generated pornographic images that are made without a person's consent. And that seems to be where kind of the first stop on the thought process of, well, where can AI go wrong? Pornography is one of the first things. And we've already seen stories around the country from high schools, and I think even junior highs, where boys there, or maybe mean girls, have found a way to have AI-generated pornographic images of fellow students. Mm. And those students may have, you know, not take, or
sure,
likely did not take photos like that.
Yeah.
And you have these going out
are
around the school.
Are these movies, these photos, or what exactly?
I think mostly photos, okay, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to, you know, find a way to do videos, too, in high schools. So the state of Alabama doesn't have any direct laws currently that punish for that, but lawmakers are pushing for legislation that would have perpetrators of pornographic AI-generated images legally punished. One representative, Parker Moore from Huntsville, said he learned of a woman who worked at Redstone Arsenal who discovered her male coworker created AI-generated pornographic images of her, including her face, without her knowledge and consent. And like I said, it's happening in high schools as well. And so Moore decided to start investigating similar cases and draft a bill that would protect people from this AI-generated content.
So difficult to try and write a law, this stuff that you're trying to figure it out yourself, exactly how it can be implemented, what dastardly things can be done with it, as opposed to AI, which I think we, you know, things I read that AI probably is going to do, it's going to quicken a lot of things, it's going to overhaul just about everything, but
yeah,
it could make our life easier in many ways, but man, on the dark side?
Yeah, it could get bad. And
yeah,
I was just listening to a podcast where that was kind of the central theme, was what happens, right?
Possibilities.
What happens, if AI grows more powerful than humans? And how close are we to that being a potential reality? So this is House Bill 161 that we're talking about here with the state legislature. It says a person cannot create personal AI-generated images without someone's consent. And you also have Representative Matt Woods from Walker County. House Bill 168, that's expected to protect specifically children from inappropriate AI-generated content. His bill allows for legal repercussions for perpetrators that create pornographic AI-generated images of children younger than 18. That is obviously a major issue as well on the national scale is, okay, what about child pornography, but AI-generated? So you have a lot of questions that, you know, maybe it'll eventually be before the Supreme Court, but until then, states are trying to figure this out. How do you legislate that? Because it might not, you know, there might not be a clear and direct victim, per se, but it's still something incredibly abhorrent that you would think should be illegal in some form or fashion.
Right, you're in the possession of it. And how about... there's a couple of ways there could be some setups. We're going to play you one here out of Baltimore. That's quite a story, gosh. Also, you could plan it on people. You could plan an AI, whatever, somebody has no intention of looking at or seeing, and suddenly there could be... you could do that with the real thing as well, I guess.
You could implicate people in crimes.
Yes.
And this is all stuff when you talk about deep fakes, as have been a discussion for some time now, and specifically people think about elections. Well, how will this affect the next presidential election if there's a video of Trump saying he's something that he didn't say, or Biden saying something he didn't say? And while we've seen some of that, some of it's been obvious and a lot of it quickly pointed out, but it's almost like we were already kind of living in a deep fake world as far as big elections are concerned, but it was just from framing the way that things are framed by the media or certain parts of, video that's been cut out. So we're used to that, but
campaign strategies.
Right. Yeah. But as AI gets better and better, deep fakes, say there's been a horrible crime in a community, right? And everyone's on edge and wanting to figure out who did it. Well, what if someone gets set up with a great fake AI-generated video that has them placed at the scene of the crime? There's a number of ways things can go backwards, and I do know the state is at least looking on the pornographic side of things, but as we were talking about, and there's a story from Baltimore where AI can be used in a number of different evil ways.
Yeah, check this out. So a former high school athletic director, he's kind of second in charge at this high school, okay? So he was the vice principal. And he got arrested late last week after allegedly using AI to impersonate the school principal in a recording that included racist and anti-Semitic comments about individuals at the school. So he created, and he evidently is pretty savvy in this, and he's got the technical skills. Then he got access where he wasn't supposed to, but he got access, and he got whatever he needed to create this. Eric Eiswert is the principal in question at the school in Baltimore County, and the guy that set him up is the Dazon Darian. So he wants the job. He's the black athletic director. Eiswert's the white principal, and then suddenly he's able to create this, and it's so inflammatory that the community goes crazy. They're out for blood for Eiswert. He's got to be put on
administrative leave.
So here is the recording, which evidently sounds just like Eiswert.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm going to get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people. And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
So if you're offended by that, keep in mind it never happened. He never said any of that. This was all the mind of Darian, who set him up and for a while looked like he was going to get away with it. Now, a forensic analyst and university professor contracted by the FBI conducted an audio analysis of the file, and the results determined that the recording contained traces of AI-generated content with human editing that added background noise for realism after the fact, and according to the charging documents. Now, another expert at the University of California, Berkeley, analyzed the audio and also determined it was completely manipulated.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so this will be like the new, you know, Maury or Jerry Springer, the paternity test.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you'll have like people who have been let go from their jobs. They'll say, we put our forensic analyst on this. We've determined that you are not a racist, mm-hmm. or however they're going to go through. But so they've got these analysts, like you said, and fortunately for that principal,
yeah.
decided to take a look.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the same thing with video and pictures, too, because everyone, well, at least online, it seems like there's people out there who think everything is a conspiracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't follow the story about the princess in the UK very closely, and you know, the king undergoing cancer treatment, but people were searching left and right these last few months for clues about where or how ill they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they noticed that when she had one picture with her family, and they decided that was AI generated, like they had moved part of her sweater in one picture to there are devices and apps and programs that have been made that tell you if something has been messed with, and they call it AI, but that could just be, you know, simple Photoshops on some pictures to make it look a different way.
Yeah, AI used to be Photoshop.
Right.
I mean, that was it. That was the extent of it, right?
And so, same thing with videos. They have these programs, and they could say, oh, yeah, so you could see this part or this shadow is a little bit off here. But some of those, they look incredibly real. And fortunately for that principal in Baltimore, it sounded real.
It sounded really real.
But they figured out it wasn't him.
Man, oh man, can you imagine your life comes crashing down because a setup like that by somebody who has the intent to bring you down? And what else could he have, you know, he said it all right there. I mean, he said every inflammatory thing you could say if you're an educational leader at a school.
Yeah.
If you're the administrator, it's like, you're done, buddy. That's it.
Yeah, he would have been done immediately.
Yeah. But,
and fortunately for us, he kept it FCC clean.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah. So we could play that clip for you right there. I know we got some giveaways coming up, huh?
Yes, your chance to win a couple different sets of tickets today. Coming up here, your chance to win Judas Priest. We'll also talk about a very cool expo that's on the way right here on Mobile Mornings. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5.
What's going on, D.O.?
I think it's time to give away some tickets,
right,
Dan. And how about this? Very much looking forward to this event coming up, the Mobile Convention Center. Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, May 10th through May 12th, the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo, Lifestyle and Conservation Expo. We have a family four-pack to give away every single day as we head towards May 10th through the 12th. And right now, caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 5, pick up the family four-pack for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. So this is coming up May 10th. It'll run all next weekend and produced by Mobile Bay Magazine, a full weekend celebrating our outdoor heritage and lifestyle here on the Gulf Coast. They'll have plenty of family-friendly activities, dozens of outdoor-oriented vendors, and looks like a lot of fun as well. Archery, a BB gun range, a rock wall. They'll have some hunter education classes there, also an outdoor-themed art gallery, and a whole lot more. That's May 10th through the 12th, the Mobile Convention Center, the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo presented by the Porch Band of Creek Indians, and it's coming up in 2 weekends. So congratulations to the caller who picked up that family four-pack. We'll have a pack to give away every single day leading up to the event.
Okay, 251-343-0106. We still have got some concert tickets mm-hmm. to give away later on today.
For Judas Priest.
Yeah, between here and 9, right?
So stay tuned for that. We'll give away some Judas Priest tickets.
Right.
That show coming up May 12th at the Mobile Civic Center Arena. I got a text on the whole AI conversation. Fire Dog says, how do we know that Dan and Dalton aren't on vacation or brains in a jar at the radio station? He said, you could just be AI. Well, I guess, you know, and that's, while you'd think that would be a positive if we could take some time off for AI, it is going to replace some jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried about USA Radio News, and maybe it's already replaced a job.
Yes, I think your concerns are real.
But it's more than that, too. It's countries, and when we're on the, as plenty of people have said, I don't know how true it is, but on the precipice of a world war.
Yeah. Anything could trigger it, right?
Anything could trigger it. And you see it on a lower level, like when Iran was bombing Israel, or trying to bomb Israel, before they got, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar 300 times, where he just stuffed it, you know,
yeah.
And they blocked every shot. There were videos going around that were actually strikes from the Ukraine war, and they're trying to pass it off online as some direct hits from Iran into Israel.
Right. That's just kind of misinformation, rather than AI can take it to a whole nother level.
Right. And even at the beginning of the Ukraine war, and I'm sure it's still going on, but they had videos from, you know, fighter pilot battles in video games. And they were, some people online, trying to pass those off as actual aerial battles over the skies over Ukraine. And it was from video games.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just on a lower level. But if you have AI that is stoking conflict around the world, or once, you know, it decides for, and I'm not smart enough to know when or how that moment would come, but if this super machine that keeps growing on top of itself, growing smarter and smarter, when it decides it doesn't need humans, you know, so there needs to be some form of regulation. And I'm not sure how deep of a look it's getting actually in D.C. We know some states are concerned about it, but that seems to be more about the direct effect on the personal level.
How many movies back in the 80s addressed that, 80s and 90s? I've got to go back and watch those movies, because they did not strike my interest back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a rom-com guy, I guess. It was like, there's those movies out there where this was all the plot of the movie.
Right. Well, I think the main one, Terminator, you think.
Yeah.
And I see Gardner texting, can you say Terminator? Yeah, it, we're definitely headed in that direction. So, but for Alabama, it looks like they're taking the taking a look at the of the many evils of AI, the pornographic lane, kind of where they're trying to make some laws there. Also, we talked about, you know, it was only a matter of time before all eyes on District 2 here in Alabama, and Reuters this weekend with one of their articles here, House Races to Watch. And they put up 11 here. They say 11 of the big races heading into the November election in here at the end of the year. And so they did put District 2 as one of the 11 House races to watch.
Unavoidably, it's a huge race.
Yeah, I think it's, even if they narrowed that list down to 6 or 7.
It's still got to be one of them.
I think so. So here's what Reuters wrote about the race. They said Shamari Figures, a Democratic former Justice Department official, and first-time candidate Caroline Dobson, a Republican, emerged from an April 6th runoff primary. The district was created after a federal court ordered Alabama to implement a congressional map that created a second largely black district. That decision is expected to give Democrats a rare opportunity to gain a seat in the conservative southern state. They said legal battles over redistricting could play a role in the congressional maps for as many as 10 states and potentially tip control of the House. And so that's kind of the messaging you're going to see and have seen from the national media. Is first they'll say, well, remember, the courts had to come in and right this wrong because the Alabama legislature wasn't going to do it. That's
the
national narrative.
Yes.
And so that was changed. And then, like you said, whether they focus on maybe policing and the Kenyon Brown report that came out last week, or abortion may be a pretty heavy topic too, but I think there's certain things that the national media and these national PACs are going to come in and push the issue on.
Might not fly here.
Might not. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. We pretty much know the way that Caroline Dobson is going to run her race. I think we have a pretty good idea. But how does Figures run the race? How do his campaigners decide to run that race? Do they run it on a more like national scope, which may not work as well. The messaging, and here's the other message they both got to get out. They've got to make it sound urgent. Like, if you're just hearing this and you feel one way or the other, but you don't get out and vote, we haven't affected you enough, right?
Yeah, good point. 834 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Monday morning. And now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we're doing fine here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios, and I know things are going well over at McConnell. You got a stocked lot right now.
That's right. We've got a great selection of vehicles here, and you check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, like I said, we've got a great selection of pickups, new Buicks. I mean, that Invista, we cannot keep them here. If anybody's ever seen it, under $30,000, little great-looking car. I mean, I think we saw like 13 already this month. So we just got a lot of stuff going on. Got some great deals on some used cars. Want everybody to be careful this afternoon. Like, the rain's going to set in. If you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget, we got a great body shop here. Thomas and all the guys and girls back here take care of all you need. So we're the one-stop shop. So come see us, McConnell Automotive.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So, Saturday night was a night of laughs. I'm kind of surprised, you know, in country music, often there would be like a, there would be maybe a concert in downtown Nashville, something that wasn't aired live.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have a festival or something like that, then put it together, and then they would air it later, you know,
right,
like for, so you can see your favorite artists perform, and it wasn't live. But so it kind of surprises me that the major networks doesn't turn this correspondent, like they take it and
repackage it.
Repackage it,
yeah,
for a Like Live special, the correspondence dinner.
And, you know, I don't know. I wasn't watching politics or political news Saturday night. Did anyone run it live?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
So they don't throw it up on CNN or Fox News
or
anything
like that? No, I don't
think
they do. I don't think they do.
Well, somebody in there is getting audio, that's for sure. And you had, of course, was it Colin Jost who was the MC or the, they always pick a celebrity, somebody to host it. I was going to call him a brown noser or something mean like that. But it generally is,
yeah,
right? They get someone who's not going to be too critical of the president.
Right.
Or
I probably just got to balance it out a little bit. Right?
Yeah, and I don't think it was always like that. Maybe it has been. Obviously, if you're the ones inviting the comedian, you wouldn't invite like a Norm MacDonald to come and just completely rip you to shreds, right? You would want someone who's going to play nice for the home team.
If you bring a comic in, maybe they do, you know, they rib you a little bit, right, if you're the current president. But their major work is to take out the enemy.
So Biden was there, and you could see the method that his campaign's going with here. They had, on Friday, a much-talked-about hour-long interview, or just over an hour, that he had with Howard Stern. From the Howard Stern Show. I need to go back and listen to that. But so they had Biden. They're saying, hey, look, he can get out there and talk for over an hour, albeit with someone in Howard Stern. It's not like the old Howard Stern.
No, it's not like the old Howard Stern at all. So you can say, well, he sat down with Howard Stern. You go, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like somebody taking care of their elderly uncle.
It was, from the clips I saw and listened to. That's exactly what it seemed.
Howard Stern suddenly has become this kind, sympathetic figure, sees the world a different way. I mean, he's not, the inflammatory stuff he would do on live radio was way past what anybody had ever heard before.
Yeah, and you know, he's done the blackface, he's done it all.
Yeah.
But the current national media, they believe he's living a second life, so he's been absolved of all of his past social justice sins that he's had.
Well, and he's had plenty.
And he's had plenty.
If you at the current rate or the current understanding of what is acceptable and what is not, as opposed to 10 years ago or 15, or certainly Howard Stern's career has gone on, and from the very beginning, he came out of the gate
heavy.
Yeah. So, but it's funny that he, like you say, he has been absolved of all of those past sins.
Yeah.
When you look at what is accepted today.
So you have him lobbing softballs to Biden for an hour on Friday, and then you get the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And of course, you know, jokes written for the president. I don't know. Maybe Biden wrote all of these hilarious jokes that he came up with.
No.
And I'm sure they practiced it over and over. Here's a minute of Biden cutting some jokes, just like a stand-up comedian.
The 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Well, I feel great. I really feel great. I'm campaigning all over the country, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina. I've always done well in the original 13 colonies.
See, a lot of age humor.
Age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
Awkward cut over to Kamala Harris here. She's
Trump's
laughing.
So desperate he started reading those Bibles he's selling. Then he got to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's when he put it down and said, this book's not for me.
Dangerous line. You go with the Christian jokes.
Easy.
There. Yeah.
Easy.
But, you
can see, exactly Roman Catholic of the year.
not this year. Not 2024 for sure. So there's a minute of Biden doing some jokes that I'm sure were written for him, maybe even by Colin Jost. But Jeff talked about it some last week, and he has certainly a different perspective than we do, having worked up there among those types.
Yep.
But he said they just get so worked up over themselves, and this is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This is about me. This is about us, the most important people in the room.
And I thought about that's really interesting. I haven't heard Jeff say that, and I thought to myself, there's a reason they call it that, and I couldn't put my finger on it. It's to make them feel like it's
they're special.
They're special, right?
Yeah.
This you're a White House correspondent. Wow, you get to go to this event and lavish praise on the man that allows you to be here.
Yeah,
the President of the United States.
And he went after them some for the media has been. At least they're trying to appear like they're critical of the Biden administration, and some of them are. You know, we talked last week about some of the New York Times articles that seem to be coming out a little more forcefully each week against mm-hmm. something that Biden's done. That lack of access, and it's so obvious that with 4 years of Trump, where I don't know if you could keep him off the TV.
No.
Every second he had was a different speech in front of the cameras and going back and forth with some press, White House press.
Well, you could find out what he was thinking about at 2 in the morning on Twitter.
Yeah.
So Trump was, there was no lack of access there. And he was always ready to say exactly what he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. I was going to say what he thought. But generally, he was as accessible a president as I can remember.
Yeah, maybe the most accessible.
Right.
And
Trump overload.
Yeah, you go to Biden, and they're not getting anywhere near that same access.
Right.
And I'm sure it's a lot of these liberal journalists who said, hey, we've been carrying your water forever. Give us a little pro bono, something like that.
New York Times, which of course been, we know where their politics lies, but it's almost like they've had it. Like, hey, I think it was in an editorial where he wrote, the President of the United States, how just ultra important this job is during any time, and certainly this time right now, this time in history, like this, you are it.
Yeah.
We need to know what you're thinking. You need to talk to us because the role we play is crucial. Almost like they were number two.
Right.
But the president, you're number one. And then what you say that we report, that's crucial too. That's between what you're thinking and the citizens of the United States.
Yeah. And so, that's not something they were doing at the beginning of his term,
no.
Calling him out for that. But it's almost like, well, hey, we're 3 years in.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're still getting nothing.
Yeah, the pot's finally boiling a little bit. That's what it seems to me.
Well, if you're wondering what Trump's response to the White House Correspondents' Dinner was, he jumped on Truth Social. And by the way, he had an all-time, he used to have called it a tweet, an all-time truth that he dropped the other day. And it was about Bill Barr endorsing him. I'll have to read that truth because paraphrasing it won't do it justice with what Trump had to say about Bill Barr. But as far as the correspondence dinner, he said, the White House correspondence dinner was really bad. Colin Jost bombed, all caps, and Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. Doesn't get much worse than this. Now, remember, Trump, he didn't go to any of the White House correspondence dinner. And everyone points back to when Obama was doing one of his.
And Trump walked out.
Yeah, he was roasting Trump during that. Did Trump get up and walk out?
I think he did. Yeah.
But he hasn't been back. And so that was over a decade ago that happened. And it was during the whole birth certificate, the birther thing, when Obama took aim at Trump there. So Biden, though, he's been showing up and made his jokes on Saturday night, and Trump was like, not very funny, if you ask me.
Well, in typical Trump fashion, Colin Jost is the name, it bombed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... He maybe had kind of an off night, but he bombed, in the words of Donald
That's
Trump.
What he said. Yeah. And but he took aim at Bill Barr. That was hilarious, too. Other Trump news, and I saw, I think Paul was texting us about this earlier. Interesting, as we talk about who may or may not be his vice presidential pick, because one potential VP candidate took a massive hit to their persona this weekend. We'll get into the Christy Noem thing, but yesterday Trump met with DeSantis.
Yep.
Privately for several hours, they said. And I guess this is the first time that the two actually met face-to-face since DeSantis dropped out of the race back in January, which at this point it feels like a lifetime ago. But they said during the several-hour meeting, DeSantis agreed to help Trump as the GOP's presumptive presidential nominee tries to close his fundraising gap with Biden.
He has access to a lot of money right now, DeSantis. Mm. Does he not?
Yeah, I think he does.
He's built up it says in this story, he's built up a formidable network of wealthy donors. That helped him get reelected so easily. I guess it was 2022 when DeSantis was reelected. Interesting that they do meet down in Miami, I think is where they met, probably closer to all the money, to be honest with you, so they can see people face to face. But they kind of kept it on the down low. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what that means.
Right. Well, at least some people found out about it to the point where articles were written. And you start wondering, even though I think DeSantis pretty forwardly said he wouldn't run as vice president, right? And then you have people wondering, well, if they're both from Florida, will the Constitution allow it?
Right.
From what I've read and investigated, I think that's all a bit overblown, that you can actually have Trump and DeSantis run on the same ticket. But is that something that Trump is thinking about, asking DeSantis to be the VP, maybe instead of or in addition to them kind of poking around to see what kind of money DeSantis might be willing to let go of, wondering his thoughts on, hey, maybe you would make a pretty good VP nominee.
Does DeSantis have some leverage on Trump because of how many wealthy people he knows in Florida, or wealthy donors, or is he sitting on top of some money that Trump could use? I don't know, but I don't say it was a big top secret, but it seemed to be more unearthed than announced.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair, yeah. There weren't people waiting to get images of them together. But at this point, DeSantis might be the best potential VP nominee. Doug Burgum, who, of course, was in the running for president, and he stuck around for a while, even though he was nowhere near the polling he needed to be. They're saying Trump might want him for similar reasons for why he went after Mike Pence to be his VP nominee back in 2016. Now, Pence, you had the evangelical thing on top of it as well, but with Burgum, they're saying he's kind of so laid back and just kind of almost seems like a neutral observer, that that's something that they think Trump wants. Huh. Kind of like with Pence, someone who's not going to steal or suck all the oxygen out of the room, could still be the guy. But I would think, for Trump and his camp, it'd be more concerning what votes they can pull in.
Yeah, I don't know that Burgum, it's just not a lot, not much there. And, the other one, where do we go with the potential with South Dakota Governor Christy Noem after stories from the weekend that she actually told on herself? I guess it was in her book, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a book she wrote, and I guess it just came out not that long ago.
People are going, they're losing their mind over this, and in a way, I kind of see it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how things are done on the farm, but shooting a puppy seems to be over the line.
And puppy, sure, I guess, technically, in some cases, a 14-month-old dog. Right?
Yeah.
She said Cricket was a wire hair pointer about 14 months old, but as they were trying to train hunting dogs, I guess.
Yeah.
She said Cricket had an aggressive personality that made her untrainable and would go out of her mind with excitement and attack chickens like a trained assassin. And so she said when she tried to grab the dog, Cricket, 14 months old, it whipped around to bite me. And she basically said she ended up having to put her down in a gravel pit. And, of course, you can imagine people up in arms about the story. And Noem, I don't know if this was a PR move for one reason or another, but kind of unnecessary, right? She's taking unnecessary hits over something that I don't know if she should have released publicly, right?
No, I don't.
It's not a good look.
Think of the Bible and all the parables and all. What did that parable reveal about her? Like, did you have to include the story about shooting the little dog in a gravel pit? I mean, any other nuances that were missing here? Like, did you crush it with a tractor too, or what?
Yeah, and I'm sure she was trying to say, hey, tough decisions need to be made.
Yeah. I guess that was it. That was the point of the story.
But telling people that you shot everyone, when you hear about a dog, you're picturing this cute puppy in your mind,
sure,
or whatever it may be. And in your mind, you also just saw Governor Noem walk up and shoot that dog in the head. Not the greatest thing for your political career.
If Noem isn't shooting a puppy in the head, she's busy throwing a goat off a cliff, or what happened there?
Same thing.
Oh, she shot the goat?
I believe she shot it in the same gravel pit. Okay. People less up in arms about the goat being shot. But
isn't that funny?
She's going to get a letter from PETA one way or another.
It is, if they don't like the mullet toss, Noem's got nothing on that. It's 8:51, Dan and Dalton. Christy Noem and a dog named Cricket. That'll go down in history right there. First of all, by the way, I am against naming an animal another animal. So let me just get that off
clear
my chest.
About that, yeah.
I want to be clear about that. I
had a dog named Cat. she was a cat at Hula.
I don't like that. And so she said she shot the dog because, you know, this is the way things are done on the farm. That's like, I'm with you. You know, I didn't see like a bunch of dogs getting slaughtered on Bonanza. I watched them. They had a whole big piece of land out there, the old Ponderosa.
Yeah.
They weren't shooting dogs left and right.
Wasn't a crucial plot point of that show.
No, and it's like, well, so the reason again was, well, she just chased those chickens around.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, how was she around children? Oh, she loved children. We would loan her out at parties.
Yeah.
But you can't do that anymore because she's dead in the gravel pit.
Right. And, there's people taking these to the extremes where they're acting like she killed like another human, which is obviously not the case. This was still a dog. But I'm just saying,
a lot of people are close with their dogs.
Whether it was warranted or not. And I just, you know, this day and age, I don't see how it's warranted to shoot a 14-month-old dog, but for not doing its job.
Do you have a neighbor you can say, hey, would you like Cricket?
Right. But again, I'm not living that life. You know, she's living that farm life. And Pete said, come on, girls. Farmers don't have the luxury of keeping chicken-killing dogs. Glad someone can still make tough choices. And I know that's probably why she put that story out there. Hey, I can make tough choices. I can shoot dogs in the head. But I think it was an unnecessary political, shot to the foot, like Gardner said on the text line.
Very good, Gardner.
Shooting herself in the foot.
Yeah.
I just don't think it was the best political move because, well, I know Biden's not polling well. His likeness rate, you know, it's in like 30%. I have trouble finding people where your likeness is going to go up when they hear the story of Christy Noem shooting a dog.
You shot your own puppy.
Yeah.
So that's you. But, and also think about this, all of those, you know, coastal elite cities, not a lot of farm sensibility in the way they think. So who was this little parable for? I mean, other farmers only? I get that. Well, I shot two last week.
It would have been interesting, too, if she would have used the word abort instead of gravel pit,
mm-hmm,
or however she worded it, mm-hmm, because then you're putting the Democrats on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she should go back, rewrite it, and say she had to abort the dog. See what happens.
Except that's not the definition.
It's not
of
exactly
abort.
What happened. Yeah.
The dog was a year and a half old, or so, 14 months old, right?
14 months.
Still
yeah.
A puppy. Still a puppy.
I'm just putting ideas out there, Dan.
Yeah. It's Dalton to the rescue. Christy Noem, call us. But now you'll be calling the Jeff Poor Show, or at least texting it. He's on the way. 251-343-0106, our text line. Use it up. Jeff will appreciate that, and he's next.